radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
Hour number three. It's Extra 1360, available via the iHeartRadio app. That was Trent Grisham, who joined us back in the first hour of the program. I totally would have understood Trent Grisham coming off a loss if he would have said, you're asking me about a series that starts on Friday. We're getting set for the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight. We got the Pirates again tomorrow. But he was good enough to give us an answer on that question about the Dodger series upcoming this week. So I do appreciate that. Like I said, it would have been easy to go, I'm not there yet. I don't even know who we're playing on Friday. But he didn't go down that road, and it's very much appreciated. Let's say hello to Kevin Acey of the Union Tribune, our Padres insider. He joins us weekly. He is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Here he is on Extra 1360. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hello, Darren, and I'm only focused here on tonight's game.
Okay, I won't ask you a single thing about the Dodgers. I won't ask you about tomorrow's game. I won't ask you about what's happening next month. We're just getting set for Joe Musgrove coming up a little later on tonight. Kevin, I know that in today's society, this is ancient history. Last Friday, ancient history, but you got to write and you got to witness the first no-hitter. You understand the significance of it. What was it like?
It was the coolest thing that I have covered, and there was a lot that went into that. It was the first no-hitter. I knew how special it was to the franchise, moreover to the people that have rooted for the and suffered along while they're rooting for this franchise. And the fact that it was Joe Musgrove certainly didn't hurt. He's a really good guy, and I, even before that, and definitely since that, have been impressed with how he has embraced, you know, the coming home, how he hasn't at all denied any of the importance to him. He grew up a Padres fan. He loves San Diego. He's lived all over San Diego ever since, you know, he became a professional player and could afford to rent places on, up and down the coast in San Diego. He is very appreciative of fans. His family is San Diego through and through. It was just a neat story.
And I said on Monday when we got here into the studio, not that anybody was climbing out on a limb and making predictions about who it would be that would throw the first no-hitter in franchise history. But when I got to work on Monday, Kevin, we talked about this on Monday's show. Like, wasn't it so obvious after the fact that if somebody was going to break through that it was going to be this guy?
Yeah, that's deep for all of us to think. Look, his stuff is really good. And gosh, after you waited that long, it does seem like that was meant to be. And there's another thing. Joe Musgrove is the guy who suggested that, and it was in all humility. It was just like it really was a magical night, and I don't think there's anything wrong with all of us just completely embracing that fact.
Kevin Acey is joining us from Pittsburgh. It's Game 3, Padres-Pirates, coming up at about 3:30 this afternoon. Joe Musgrove will be out there. I'm kind of curious to see how he looks. He'd never gone this deep into a baseball game, so I'm kind of curious to see now, especially after what we witnessed yesterday. The Padres got picked up by their relief core, but I'm kind of curious to see what it looks like with him out there on the mound today, a place he knows very well.
Yeah, he must have looked really good in his bullpen session on Monday, because I really believe they were leaning toward giving him an extra day. He wasn't feeling great after the first couple days. I guess he didn't sleep very well, he said. And these guys are always sore after a long outing in particular, and that was longer than he had gone in some time. It was the longest of his career, but it was also the longest he had gone in some time. So he must have felt great to let him know that he was going, to let him know that, hey, I can go on Wednesday. And he said he'd prefer to stay on this. Pitchers love their timing, love their routines. I don't think that we'll see him go 100 today. But, hey, who's putting limits on what Joe Musgrove can do now?
Kevin Acey's joining us. Blake Snell pitches last night. We know the story. He goes 2/3 of an inning, approaching 40 pitches, gets taken out. Your thoughts here? You listened on the post-game Zoom. You heard what Jace Tingler had to say. We played it a little bit earlier. We played some of the Blake Snell stuff. People have seen that as well. They can find it at sportssd.com. Kevin, I know it's only three starts, and you could totally throw last night's one out, right? Like, that's an outlier. You're not going to see many like that. Second shortest performance outing of his career. But for a guy that we talked about a lot during the offseason, that Tampa was sort of holding him back. He's gone 5 innings. He's gone 4 2/3. And then there's yesterday, and I wondered if that was part of the frustration that we saw play itself out during the game when he's removed.
Sure, he knew right away. Like, whether he was going to make it through the first or the second or the third, you knew halfway through that first inning line. It's got to be in the back of his mind, right? We're both projecting on this, Darren, but it's got to be in the back of his mind. Here I go again, right? And he had two outs, and it's been he's actually been pretty good with two outs. It's two strikes that's kind of been his problem. Or, after he makes a real quick out, he doesn't get a real quick out after that. And certainly didn't get any outs after his second out last night. So, yes, I absolutely believe that. I believe that there were some issues between he and Luis Camposano. I do not mean to pick on him, but he's not very good as a catcher right now. In a lot of ways. And look, he's 22 years old. I did the research last night. Yadier Molina had caught 250 games, and he had gone 4 years from high school when he made his debut. That's Yadier Molina. There aren't too many other guys that came out of high school as a draft pick and are catching in the majors 4 years later. We all know why he's here. It's because Austin Nola isn't. He needs to catch games in the minor leagues. So I think that had something to do with it. Yeah, it was just one of those starts. I don't think a competitor like Blake Snell is going to be very, very happy with something like that. As far as, would it have been great if he went five and something that first start? The idea that Blake Snell is going to go 7-8 is something that the Padres absolutely believe in, and they absolutely believe in it to be expected come June, July, August. Whether it was him, whether it was the Rays, and it was probably a little bit of both, mostly the Rays, the fact is, the guy has not gone. He's been a 5 1/3 inning pitcher. I mean, to think that he was going to be going 6 right now without a little bit of luck, that just wasn't going to happen.
You talk a little bit about Camposano, which leads to the obvious question, Kevin, on Austin Nola and any sort of update there. It feels like it's been very quiet. I'm not on the Zooms as much as you and Marty, others. But what's your sense of update on Austin Nola and when he might return?
The hope is next week, I guess. You see, the swelling has continued, but I guess it's not now, and that he's able to play in games at the alternate site. Trying to check on that, exactly how much he's playing, how many at bats he's getting, how he's feeling. It's a little difficult now with the alternate site. It promotes the ability for secrecy, and it just makes it harder to get information, but checking on that as we speak. I had checked on it, and hopefully the text that you just heard was maybe something about that. You can hear my text, right, when I got the alarm on? You can hear
Yeah, absolutely. Who's texting you? Share with us.
I don't know. I haven't looked because I wanted to keep the phone pressed to my ear and keep this streak of me sounding good audibly on the Darren Smith Show going. So I haven't looked. And I want to make focused on you, Darren.
What are you talking about? If you have to check the phone, you can check the phone. It could be breaking news here that you can share with our audience.
Nah.
So you have no reason to think that the original timeline for Austin Nola is, you think that that's very much the original timeline.
What? I think that there's been a setback to a certain extent, that I think that they had hoped he'd come back not too shortly after Trent Grisham. And I guess in the scheme of the season, him coming back next week would not be that long after Trent Grisham. But the fact is, they'd hope to have him back, and that Luis Camposano, for whatever they say, and of course they're going to say, look, they said Francisco Mejia was a good catcher. Of course they're going to say the complimentary things they are about Luis Camposano. They want Austin Nola back as soon as he's healthy.
Kevin Acey is joining us from Pittsburgh as the Padres get set game number 3 of this 4-game series. It's coming up at about 3:35 or so this afternoon. All right, so hopefully good news there on Austin Nola. What are you hearing about Adrian Morejon?
Very, very little. The doctors are checking him out with that generally, as in other doctors outside of the team, and that would be from Adrian Morejon's interests that wants to see. Well, what that means is they're getting confirmation. Does he need Tommy John surgery is what that generally means.
Right. So the fact that we haven't heard anything is very much, and we tried to suggest this to the audience a little bit earlier, sometimes it's not about getting a team update. Sometimes it's very much the player who wants to slow things down and get as many opinions, talk to as many people, his agent, his family, doctors, things along those lines. So, it could be that situation here, but it doesn't sound like everybody's expecting some sort of surprisingly good news.
Yeah, from the start, that's kind of been the concern. I like to be, obviously I've been trying to check on it. And the silence on it is also something that can give you a hint. And you like to be respectful. I mean, this kid, gosh,
course.
He looked really good in spring training. You felt like, man, once it clicks on the consistent command and the ability to sequence pitches, wow, Adrian Morejon's going to be awesome. And he still very well might be, but if it's the Tommy John, then it's going to be a couple years from now. And, you know, try to be sensitive to that. This is devastating for Adrian Morejon, and that's what's happening.
Absolutely. It's crushing. And you feel for somebody, especially coming into the zone, thinking about what the opportunities were that he was given last year. But, Kevin, the season moves on, so the Padres very much need a starting pitcher. What are their options?
Gosh, it certainly seems to me that signs are pointing toward Ryan Weathers. Has not appeared in this series. Certainly the hope would be that no one's going to be really committing to this until they see what they can get through tonight. And perhaps even tomorrow, though by that point they're going to commit, I believe, at least internally, to who their starter is Friday. But, you know, there's not a whole lot of options. They sacrificed the Bill Grismat last night to try to get through that game, and it worked out except for the win. And so they're just going to have to try and get through Friday. I think Ryan Weathers is a great option, man. I mean, his first start was in the playoffs, or not start, his first appearance was in the playoffs, and it was against the Dodgers. He has come out and thrown strike after strike this season, and I think that he's got, like, no fear at this point in his career. So, and there's not really any harm in that. So Chris Paddock goes tomorrow, and I feel like it's looking like Ryan Weathers on Friday, but, you know, don't have any confirmation on that. And that's partially, I think, because the Padres are, figuring it out.
And that seems like it's okay. Here's our situation for Friday. And we'll be open-minded about what that might mean for Ryan Weathers moving beyond the start on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was always a thing. Like, okay, so what's going to happen now? Of course, Nelson Lamet is, you know, very close and is looking like the Brewers series. So there's, you know, gosh, what does Chris Paddock look like? Not that I'm suggesting that Chris Paddock is major being taken out of rotation, but there's just a lot of moving parts. And, you know, not everybody's going to have a long leash as Tommy Pham here. So that's, you know, don't be surprised if, you know, throughout the season that there are interchangeable parts, especially as they try to keep guys fresh in the rotation. But, yeah, it's always been a thing like Ryan Weathers keeps pitching like this. There's value for him in the bullpen, and we probably are going to need that. But let's be open-minded about what he could do for us starting as well.
Well, you might not want to suggest that Chris Paddock's spot in the rotation is not on the firmest of grounds, but I would think that that's just logical here, that if things don't start getting better for Chris Paddock, then the Padres, I think it's their responsibility to start considering other options, even though now they're dealing with the addition of Morejon potentially missing significant time.
That was a big deal. I mean, that was potentially a big deal. It's like, okay, well, you know, in order to replace someone, you have to have someone better to replace him with. And my words were, I'm not saying he's close to being replaced. Your words are exactly what I would agree with. He's not on the firmest of ground right now.
I would have laughed a week ago when we were talking about Tatis and you were laying out all these different scenarios about him having to adjust the swing. It just sounded like a process. Getting that player back on the field was going to be a lot longer than 10 days. And then I started seeing all these clips and I started reading. I get the newsletter, Kevin. Everybody should subscribe to the newsletter that Kevin puts out there. He puts a ton of work into it. But you started writing a little bit about Tatis, that he's out there, he's taking ground balls, et cetera. We see him in the cage, you know, and now I very much believe and almost expect that we're going to see him this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. I'll be shocked if we don't. So once you realize that it's a much bigger question of how long he lasts, then will he be ready on Friday? Because, like, I've seen him hit every day. I can see him hit from my hotel room. I see him hit from the press box. I saw him hit in Texas. And I'll tell you what, looks great. He looks like Fernando Tatis Jr. And he's doing, like, everything. So there you go. I mean, and it's certainly Jace Tingler, who works very hard to be Bill Belichick, has not shied away from saying, yeah, you know, looks really good. So I think that everyone here is operating under that assumption that he is going to play on Friday.
From your hotel room, could you explain that?
Yeah. Here, you know, they have the PNC, great park, or at least, you know, the views of it are. They have the opening in center field. And so from my hotel room, I could look down. And so yesterday, I was able to see Fernando Tatis Jr. Participate in take about 6 at-bats. And he's got the two-handed follow-through, and he's hitting bombs and hitting all fields. I'll tell you what, in Texas, he was, oh my gosh, those were classic Fernando Tatis Jr. batting practices. And, they're working on things with him. Will Fernando Tatis Jr. be able to keep himself off the ground and approach balls in a certain way on defense in the heat of the moment? We'll see. Will he not every once in a while just throw his body into a swing and do the one-handed follow through and, pull his shoulder out? We'll see. But right now, they're doing everything they can to kind of educate him on hey, this is what gives you the best chance to stay healthy. And to me, he looks like Fernando Tatis Jr.
I love it. I'm picturing AC in a robe with his binoculars peering out the window. Did you request that room on purpose so that you can see right into the ballpark?
No, they generally always give me that room when I'm here, and it's a fantastic hotel, and everything except the robe. I wasn't wearing a robe, Darren.
Mm. Au natural, naked, binoculars?
I have the binoculars, and I was wearing clothes, Darren.
All right, well, hey, you never know. You're in a hotel room. What you do in your hotel room is your business, unless you want to share it.
I mean, at that point, I was wearing clothes. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Listen, I know how it is when you're out there on the road. It takes a little while. It's a lot different than being at home. All right. So Musgrove tonight and Paddock tomorrow and then the Dodger series. And Kevin, since we won't chat with you between now and the conclusion of the Dodger series, we had Trent Grisham on a little bit earlier. I love that he was willing at least to go down this road a little bit with me, knowing that they still had two in Pittsburgh. But your thoughts here in terms of this is the first of 19, and I know we're trained to say things like long season and all that sort of stuff. But for you, how much sizzle is there heading into this weekend, especially now that the Padres announced expanded capacity and all that stuff?
Yeah, this is super exciting. They look, it's true. It's the first of 19, and also it is, today is 13, 14, 15, like the 16th game or something, the 15th game of the season on Friday. So, look, long way to go, but come on. How often do the Dodgers come to town and the Padres are actual contenders and challengers, and the Dodgers have somewhat manipulated their rotation so that you're facing Buehler, Kershaw, and Bauer? I mean, this is legit. This is, like, super exciting. And to me, in April, it doesn't get any more exciting in the first month of the season in baseball. This isn't the NFL. This is rare, and this is really cool.
Absolutely, and I think we should embrace it. For as long a season it is, and as long as these baseball games tend to go sometimes, the fact that you can replicate any sort of postseason season sizzle in a regular season series, to me, is something that's absolutely embraceable. Thank you to Jim, Kevin. I'm sorry, before we wrap up, Jim reminded me that I need to ask you about Will Myers. Just any thoughts on Will, who had to exit the game yesterday?
It's going to be something he has to deal with. He's got patellar tendonitis in his right knee, and, it becomes swelling, and it's just something he's going to have to deal with. My understanding is that, this isn't something like, oh no, is surgery around the corner? Nope, people play with this, but the fact is, he's going to have to manage it. So, I don't know that it's the precarious situation that Fernando Tatis Jr.'s shoulder is, but, one of your best players is going to be out there, and every once in a while he might have to sit.
Kevin, this has been an excellent report. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Darren.
Thank you. Kevin Acey, everybody, who's now going to check his text message and probably drop some bombshell on us here in the next 30, 40 minutes or so. I'm sure it'll be ready for the loose cannons coming up a little later on today. Yeah, thank you for reminding me about Will. That slipped my mind. So I'm with Kevin on that. Like, I know it's easy to just, it's a regular season series. And whoever it is that comes out dropping two out of three or getting swept is going to go, it's a regular season series. And they won't be wrong. They won't be wrong. But in these longer seasons like baseball and basketball, when you can get a series that feels and has a little bit of postseason sizzle to it, it's absolutely worth embracing and diving into 100% and putting that sort of jargon off to the side for a
couple. It's the only series that you circle literally for the entire month.
Now you lose two out of three on Monday, I'm going to go, hey, everybody, it's a long series.
Yeah, there is no outcome that the Padres could have had versus the Giants, the Rangers, the Pirates, and the D-backs, and then, of course, even the Brewers and the Diamondbacks again this month. They'll be like, okay, yeah, this is the one that matters the most. It is. Ryan Weathers, huh? Not Craig Stammen.
Yeah, man, your best bets.
Crushed.
Let's get you ready for summer with a little extra cash. All day today, Extra 1360 is giving you chances to win $1,000. Listen for the keyword. Enter it at sportssd.com. You can get all the contest times now at sportssd.com. We are back after this on a... Got some TV listings coming up here in a little bit. The Sixers-Nets game on television. It is?
ESPN.
Yeah, well, I'm sure ESPN is thrilled with the fact that no Kevin Durant, no Aldridge, no Blake Griffin, no James Harden tonight.
Wow.
Is Kyrie playing or is his feeling still hurt?
Oh, boy.
This is only 1-2 in the Eastern Conference standings. And we just were talking about when you have opportunities in these long seasons to really add a little bit of sizzle to it, you do it.
The signature games.
And the Nets completely disagree with this.
This would have been the game. I mean, how happy are you, though, as a Knicks fan, Darren, as a hopeful Knicks fan, that they did not sign Kyrie Irving?
Yeah. He's a really talented player. But I just couldn't root for that. Isn't that one of the worst things in sports? When you have a guy on your team and you're rooting for the laundry, but you just can't embrace the person. You know what I mean?
I could think of one.
Oh, here we go again. Trevor Bauer?
Yeah, Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Except it's a little bit different, though, because with Trevor Bauer, the performance, he's out there. You literally don't know.
He's actually pitching really well.
He's been right.
Yeah.
You literally don't know with Kyrie. If he could just be out there, he could be a difference maker.
It's true, and he's incredibly talented. He's been part of a championship club. You can argue that in that series, Jim, earmuffs, that what he did was more impactful than even what LeBron did.
He hit the shot.
He won the series. Now, there was a million other factors there, including the ridiculous suspension, but that's neither here nor there. I also, though, I would say I think the difference between Kyrie Irving and Trevor Bauer is a performance act. Like, what he does is performative. And I think Kyrie is just naturally wired to be different.
That's genuine.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Like when he was when he missed the game for personal reasons, but he was on a Zoom with city officials, that was genuine. That wasn't some, hey, look at me sort of thing.
Sort of feels that way. It feels that way to me. Like, this is what this guy is. This is what this dude is all about. Whereas Trevor Bauer is just desperate for attention.
Tries really hard,
which is why we try really hard not to give it to him. But
who are we kidding?
It happens.
I can't wait till Sunday.
But that's a good Eastern Conference game that you can look and go, I can get into that, because even though NBA regular season, I'm ready for the postseason. It matters. It should matter. And you got so many stars just sitting out for the Nets and whatever. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be the case upcoming this weekend. So all in all, it sounded like some pretty good news. Kevin Acey expects that it'll be Ryan Weathers. Kevin Acey thinks that it'll be Dinelson Lamet. Coming back there in a couple of weeks, right before the Brewers series, I think he said. So what is that?
Wait,
about
that would
a week and a half?
Not a couple of weeks. That's
next week.
That's Monday.
Next Monday, yeah.
That's this Monday.
So let's see. So that's the 14th. Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, it's the 14th. Yeah, I'm not going to do this math, everybody. Sorry.
That's just Monday.
I think it would be Tuesday.
Okay.
No, you're right. It'll be Monday. What day is it? Anyway. So all in all, it sounded like it was. And Myers, you know, if only there were this designated hitter.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Right, sure. What?
You guys not hearing that?
Hearing what?
Are we having an earthquake?
That's what I'm saying. Did you feel it?
I hear it.
Yeah.
Hear an earthquake?
There might be construction upstairs.
All right. Here's what's on television tonight. Padres and Pirates, Joe Musgrove, Tyler Anderson, 3:35 on Harry's.
What did I just miss?
I don't know. Jim and I.
You didn't hear that, Marty?
No.
Huh. Nets and Sixers. I did a great job selling this game at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, go ahead and tune in, everybody.
Tune in and don't see Durant. Nets and Grizzlies, Nuggets and Grizzlies, 6:30 p.m. on ESPN.
Oh,
Trading Places, 5:15 on SEEN. Yes?
Are we shaking?
Right? I think it's just our building.
It might be just the building.
Yeah.
It might just be the people on this show.
Probably that, too. That's the most logical reasoning.
Trading Places, 5:15 on SZEN. Love this movie. Mm-hmm. Funny Business, about a snobby, wealthy investment broker unwittingly switching roles with a fast-talking street hustler as part of a whimsical wager orchestrated by two billionaire brothers. The Dukes. The Godfather Legacy, 7 p.m. on Reels. Mm-hmm. Historians, scholars, law enforcement agents, and mafia members examine the influence that the Godfather film trilogy had on American culture. Never thought about that. Interesting angle. Mm-hmm. Back to the Future, 7:30 p.m. on BBC. The Internship, 8 p.m. on AMC. It's a laugh-a-minute comedy. Two unemployed salesmen land internships at Google and are forced to compete against a number of overachieving college students for jobs at the tech giant. I don't know this. I've never seen this. For some reason, I want to say this is an Owen Wilson and a Vince Vaughn movie.
That seems like it.
The Internship? That Jim, if like there's it. One person on the yeah. show who's seen it, it's you.
That's correct.
Good movie? Recommend it? Marty's recommending it. Do you? Marty recommends things sight unseen.
Yes. Good movie.
8 p.m. on AMC?
Watch it after the Padres game.
Shark Ganglands, 9 p.m. on Smith. Dr. George Burgess investigates how a dwindling food source is causing sharks to attack humans on Ascension Island. And Gladiator tonight, 9 p.m. on Sci-Fi. Gladiator. You like Gladiator movies?
Russell Crowe, it's one of the all-time great movies.
I love that movie. Now, isn't there a sequel?
What?
Aren't they making a sequel? I'm not sure how you can make a sequel to Gladiator.
760 number with a good idea on the text line here is we'll clean up the texts and get into the fusion. Grisham should receive his gold glove in the next home series against the Brewers. Now, has he received that? Did they present the gold gloves to the players on the opening homestand, of which he was not active? He was on the injured list.
Right, so they probably would have waited. No, but I was at most of those games, and I don't believe that happened.
Oh,
so, I mean, if
buddy,
you're going to do
760 number, that is a killer idea.
Right?
That's the best idea we've ever had on this text
now,
line.
Now, do you do it versus the Dodgers?
No.
When there's more buzz, or you do it versus the... I mean, think about the buzz in the ballpark, okay? If you have it on Friday, you're going to honor Joe Musgrove, and then you're going to present Trent Grisham, who homered off Kershaw and waved at him or did something that evoked reaction. Do you do it versus the Dodgers?
Brewers.
Okay.
Would absolutely do it during the Brewers.
And you're right. It probably mean more to him because that's the team that traded him, even though he's in a great spot with San Diego.
You know who really liked him, by the way?
Who's that?
Pat Murphy.
Oh, really?
We saw Pat Murphy at the winter meetings after the Padres had made that trade with the Brewers.
Yes.
And it's not that Murph was down on the trade. I don't want to misrepresent Pat Murphy in any regard, although Murph would never be shy with his opinions. But Pat Murphy's like, I loved him. I loved him. You know me, Darren. I love tools. And he thought that Trent Grisham just had killer tools. He didn't. You know, he's like, I don't know. I love guys with tools. So he went undergone and had some grip change. He liked him. He just liked him a lot. He wasn't so. I didn't get the sense from Murph that that he absolutely loved every last aspect of that. But that would be a killer idea. So, I don't know. We'll have to pass that along to the proper authorities to present the gold glove Monday with the Brewers in town. Can't do any better than that. 619 number, is it me or does it sound like Marty pees herself every time she talks about Shohei Ohtani? Marty?
No.
No?
Of course not.
She just gets really happy.
It's just you, 619.
I love Shohei Ohtani, though. That's all.
Yes, you do.
I do.
Yes, you do. And then, of course, we're getting trolled by Real Madrid fans, but I'm not going to read that. All right, when we come back, it's time for the fusion. Real Madrid and Manchester City advance in Champions League action today. We will have John Schaefer. Is he in today or is he not in today?
I think he's pulling double duty.
He did the morning show today. Again.
What is going on?
I don't know what's going on here.
I'm pretty sure. That sounds like construction.
Okay. John Schaefer, Rich Orenberger will be in studio. It's. I'm sorry, everybody listening. I know this is it's annoying, more annoying than normal. But
I checked.
Something is rattling around.
Yeah, I checked Twitter and there's been no earthquake.
All right.
Great source.
Yes. Wonderful source. All right. Fusion coming up.
Happy tastes good.
Warning. Roger, ignition engaged.
The countdown is on.
3, 2, 1.
It's time for the fusion.
Don't miss the wrap-up show with Jim Russell and Ben Fletcher. Tonight, immediately following the Padres-Pirates game, Jim and Fletcher are going to break down Musgrove's first start since the no-no right here on Extra 1360 and the free iHeartRadio app. You know, baseball is synonymous with a phrase, as we say hello to John and Rich.
Let me get out. What's going on?
You come around this way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like sort of play Twister.
This is right, yeah.
We'll get this figured out.
Are you familiar with the term Wally Pipp?
Wally Pipped, yeah. Wally Pipped? Of course.
Yeah, you are.
It could be me, right?
I'm just asking. I don't know, Jim. Are you familiar with the phrase? What happens when somebody gets Wally Pipped or pipped?
Oh, yeah. Definitely know that one phrase. Listen, is it the worst thing if you're me? This is a lot of, you know, it's a lot of time.
You might want this to happen. But, Jim, you just wore that one. It's like, you want to work with this guy?
No, I'm saying, like, if Fletcher earns it, that's fine. I'll go down to AAA for the wrap-up show.
That's an interesting point. History has never considered. Did anybody ask Wally Pipp how he felt about that?
Yeah, maybe he was
maybe
like,
he's like, I'm not a starter.
He's probably like, it's time. It's time.
I'm good not being the everyday player.
It's like being the backup quarterback. I feel like it's such a good job. It pays so well.
Yeah.
I would be so upset if my starting quarterback got hurt. I would be crying.
One of my best friends still playing in the league is Brian Hoyer. And Brian is lifetime back. He was the starter, obviously, at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. He started in the NFL, too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He bounced around. He got some starts. He started some games with the Texans. He started some games with the Browns.
But he's been Tom Brady's backup a lot.
Yeah, a lot. And then now he's Cam Newton's backup, and he's a free agent right now. He might actually sign with the Jets. I got to check in with him. But
breaking news.
Do we have that?
No. That's not.
You said 2 years?
Two years. $70 million.
He's being brought in to be Zach Wilson's.
It is the cool. Yeah,
could he start week
one? It
could
be a potential situation like that because he's also been on squads with a couple of younger quarterbacks who have leaned on him and stuff like. But that's what it turns into. Like, I think of Charlie Batch with the Pittsburgh Steelers for two decades as their third string quarterback. The guy made millions. Many times over, and he played like, I don't know, six games.
I wish radio was like that.
Yeah,
you could be like the the third host, and you could just be making like all kinds of money. Because if the second host drops out, they might need you third host.
Second host has an ACL, you got to jump in there.
See, there's plenty of roles like that, but the pay stuff is not.
No, it's not quite there. Not quite there. Right. Like backup quarterbacks.
What does
NFL
it pay if you're an understudy?
Not great. Not great. You got to be a part of a big.
Like on Broadway, huge
like
Lion
Hamilton
King.
When it was popping. Yeah, that. Otherwise, you're not getting paid.
Hilarious last night, though. These guys are talking about, listen to the wrap up show. It's going to be on the iHeartRadio app only because we're carrying this basketball game. Hey, this basketball game. Otherwise, you can listen to us. They came on after the basketball game.
The game was over for like 40 minutes. Alan Sliwa was like wrapping up the post-game show.
Sliwa was like halfway home when you guys cracked the mics for the Padres wrap-up show.
Yeah, he was completely done, wrapped up, out the door, and just, we started. We're like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Baseball, man.
Brian Long, our program director, just popping by and love it. Good to see you. Oh, yeah, master. Oh, he's pointed to the master's hat. Did I tell you?
No, that's not what he did.
No?
He said that was a pink slip, like, signal.
He's like, you?
Oh,
bring your plate.
Think about it. Tomorrow's,
as a matter of fact, per his email, this is my last day.
Isn't tomorrow Friday? No, tomorrow's Thursday.
Usually, Friday.
Right? Like,
bad
you're not.
In this business.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of businesses.
Yeah, that's true. Friday's a popular
day. A great point. Like, does anyone know anyone that's ever been fired on, like, a Monday?
Yeah. Oh, and the NFL happens all
okay,
the time.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
And you want to know a radio station that went off the air in the middle of the week.
Was it a Monday?
While some of us were mid-sentence.
Wait, was it really?
No,
was it a Monday?
Like a Tuesday, right? It was a Tuesday. I remember it kind of.
Monday's just bizarre. Like, why would you have done it the previous week?
That place, they didn't do anything by the book.
Yeah.
Wait, was it really, Darren? Are you serious? I didn't know it was
they
mid.
Started playing
during
mariachi
show?
Music in the middle of the show. I remember listening to the playback of your final moments on air, and I was like, "I can't believe!" Like, I thought it was hyperbole.
So
when
is that how
story.
You found? That's how you found out? Because
I was still talking. Boss kicked open the doors, like, "Yeah, we're not on the air."
That is ridiculous.
What are you talking about? We're not
that
on the air.
That is ridiculous. I'm sorry. That is ridiculous.
You're no longer being broadcast.
Oh,
that happened not once but twice. That happened once when we got taken off the radio, and then the other time we got taken off the stream.
I got it
twice for us. We were the show that was impacted.
Similar story. I watched a rookie offensive lineman come in for a workout on a Monday. To your point, John.
Yeah.
And and he's like taking his clothes off, getting into his workout gear because he's just going to get ready for the day. And one of these, like, they don't call them GAs in the NFL. They're like offensive or defensive assistants. But, you know, like lower down the pecking order coaches who are typically in charge of these types of things walks into the locker room. And I thought he was just coming over to BS with us like usual. He walks over. He goes and he just basically goes, no. Don't finish taking your clothes off. He's like, he's like, grab your stuff. He's like, I don't, there's no good way to say this. He's like, he's like, just come with me. So the guy
was it like boxers?
It was hysterical. Yeah. He was like now like undershirt and boxers, yeah. And he's pulling his clothes back on and he's like, what's going on? And he's like, am I getting cut? He goes, yeah, I mean, I don't want to do it while you're in your underwear. He's like, yeah. He's like, grab your stuff and your playbook. And so it was literally the last time I saw him. I was like, all right, bye, Craig.
Aren't pro sports weird?
Yeah, like sport in particular.
Yeah,
definitely. But even like minor league baseball, from like one stop to another, how it happens. You can be in two or three different stops, obviously, over the course of like a 6-month period of time. Like if what we did, and people move, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
People go from market to market. But imagine if you went to like four markets in 13 months. These guys do that in the NFL.
All the time.
They do that in minor league baseball.
All the time.
You know?
Yeah.
It's different.
It is. It's one of the. It's a nomadic existence. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like lucky types like Nick Hardwick or Philip Rivers for all those years. I mean, certain guys just they latch on and they stay in one spot. Julian Edelman just retired. His entire career played in New England. But there's also this weird anxiety that any day could be your day. Like you're in camp. Well, actually, not even. You're in the off season. And the NFL draft comes and your team drafts two offensive linemen. You're like, okay, I guess I'm going to have to go at it pretty hard this offseason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's interesting.
And you show up for camp and the expectation is maybe I'm the guy they're looking to replace with these dudes. And sometimes you are and sometimes you aren't.
That's the whole Belichickian motivation behind it all. Your replacement is right there.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah. And
that doesn't matter who you are.
They do something really unique there that I didn't experience elsewhere. They would like encourage a veteran player who's not trying hard enough, who they want more out of, by putting low lights of that player on the big screen in front of the entire team. Like Bill will run a meeting and it'll be an hour and a half marathon meeting where he is just hammering people, and he'll put up a couple of low lights of a veteran they're trying to encourage, and then intentionally somewhere along the way, like he'll show some of the good, and one of the good plays he'll show will be that guy's backup. Like, hey, you know, great job reading the receiver here out of the break, you know, hip to hip with him. I mean, that you can't play that any better. Yeah, that's just the way it looks. And then you have that safety who just got trashed in the meeting out there just tearing people's heads off at practice the next day because everybody felt like they were on thin ice. It was a really good motivational tactic. It was miserable, but it worked.
I don't think I could cut it in the NFL, to be honest with you.
I couldn't deal with those mental gymnastics.
It's just anxiety. You just deal with it.
And it seems just impossible because every play you get like injured on.
You do get beat up
a lot. It's a lot.
I remember my wife came to a practice for the first time, like my fifth year in the league. She had never been to a practice before. And she was watching during training camp. I came home later that day. I didn't see her after the... And she was like, do you do that every single day? And I go, what do you mean? And she was like, all you did was hit your head into other people. She's like, is that all you do? She's like, or is this was a different practice? I was like, no, that was like a light practice. I said, this was a good day. She's like, are you kidding me? She had no idea like why I would come home sometimes and just be like, God, my neck hurts. it kind of sucks. It's a really dumb sport.
She think you were like catching touchdowns?
I thought you guys did like a lot of like butt slapping and high fiving. It seems so much easier than, it was a wake up for her because she was like, oh, I get it. Yeah, that's not fun. No, it wasn't.
All right. Speaking of not fun.
Wow. We're funny.
Oh, come on.
Hey, nice best bet, by the way. I think the number three Mac Jones is going to be terrible. It's like every day.
Come on, Jim.
Today's the first day where I feel like it's somebody else. It's somebody else. It's not going to be that guy.
No, okay. I think I agree with you. I think there's a lot of smoke being blown at the top of that board.
Well, because of the dynamic of Saleh and
I think Atlanta floated it because they want people to if everybody thinks Mac Jones coming off the board at 3, it makes the 4th pick more valuable because you could get Fields. You know, if you're believing it's Lawrence.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
So it could have been Atlanta who started this little rumor.
I like that a lot.
I also think, too, it's very plausible that Saleh might have said to somebody with the Niners, we're probably going to take Wilson, but maybe Fields.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you find out that Shanahan loves Fields, all of a sudden Saleh goes, oh, wait a second. I was just around this offensive genius for a couple of years. Yeah. Turned Jimmy Garoppolo into a Super Bowl quarterback.
Maybe
we should think more about Fields. And then he doesn't get what he wants.
Well, because it doesn't hurt the Niners if anybody ahead of them thinks that they're taking Mac Jones. You know what I mean? If that's the thought that Mac Jones is going to the Niners, what does it hurt the Niners? So they're staying mum the whole way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Protect the value of the pick.
Mm-hmm.
Why can you never trust Adams? They make up everything.
Okay. It's a science joke.
I don't get it.
It's the building block of all.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, I heard Adams.
Adam. Me too. I'm like, Eve?
A-T-O-M-S.
A-T-I-M-O-S.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. Okay. That's not bad. All right. I like it. High IQ. Yeah. Good job.
Teddy.